Welcome to KGAL's Valley Talk. I'm Jeff McMahon, and very pleased to be joined by folks from Albany Helping Hands today. Jim Wilhide is here. He's the development and media consultant with Albany Helping Hands. John Donovan, vice president and development director, and Pastor Megan Good. She's a volunteer with Albany Helping Hands, and her full-time job is as the Albany Mennonite Church's pastor. So welcome to all three of you. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Jeff.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I was talking with John Donovan just prior to going on the air, and he shared something with me that was very exciting, and that is, John, having to do with the last time you were here on KGAL's Valley Talk. Tell us about what happened after that.
Yes, your station was so helpful and gave us time to really talk about our programs and what we do, and we were making an appeal for help, and it led to the best Christmas season we've ever had. And I had so many of our folks who are supportive of us tell me that after they heard that show, they upped their giving considerably to what they were going to do. So that was just an amazing outcome. And so we're so pleased. And that also pleased me that so many of our donors listen to your station, because your station has been excellent in helping us all through the years, and we're now in the best position we've ever been financially, and we have plans to go ahead and do some other kind of big stuff for us to help our guests improve their lives.
Well, John, I have to tell you that it's an honor for us to be able to just spread the word about what you folks are doing at Albany Helping Hands. It's something that the community needs so much, and everyone in the community appreciates it that knows about it, not just those that are receiving your help and opportunity for a fresh start in life and a little bit of a helping hand to getting back onto a road of being a productive citizen, but even the people in, for example, city government. I know Sharon Canopa is so thrilled with what you folks are doing, and other officials with the government in Albany are so pleased because they don't have the resources to do it themselves, really.
It's exactly true. And, you know, that's always been excellent that we have had really great support from the city government and the county government people because they have been able to do some things and use their influence in the community to help us greatly. So it's just been amazing to see the development over the past 16 years, and now we're in a position to go ahead and maybe make our services better.
So, Jim Wilhite, why are we on the radio here today? What's our
well, you went right into it, right there. Part of that, of course, is saying thanks, and we'll want to do that specifically about some things. But John really alluded to that. Not only was giving up, the community has really stepped up to the plate back, you know, to build the shelter, move it to its current location, help the shelter, the organization pay off mortgages and so forth, make some steps, and there's going to be, like John mentioned, some neat stuff to announce in the future. There's an increased need for housing for individuals out there, and we don't see that going away anytime soon. The way the society is and the economy, there's a lot of factors, housing prices and so forth, what they are. But the community is just so generous, and we want to say thank you. And part of that generosity and the thank you is individuals donating their time, and that's why Pastor Megan is here this morning, and we'll talk about that a little bit. And, you know, that's just something that not only that from a pastoral position, she comes in on her day off there and comes in and goes to work for us, basically.
So it's like she doesn't have a day off at all.
What kind of day off? Not only that, John had mentioned the giving in the fourth quarter, dealing with the Radiothon and the Valley Talk. Christmas tree sales were up. The Mennonite Church stepped up. Albany Mennonite stepped up and took on a special project. Another church joined them to step up, and that resulted in making another leap ahead replacement. And we'll talk specifically about those. I don't want to get too bogged down because I know you have a timeline to run here, but those those are some of the teasers what we'll do here. And one of the last things we want to mention is what's coming up this year. We have a Bridge of Hope dinner auction coming up the last Thursday of April. That's the 28th of April. The thrift store, of course, always open. The garden market, we're gearing up. Chickens are going, God, whatever chickens do. I guess they're still in the eggs, aren't they? No, they're chicks.
They're
right
chicks.
They're chicks.
We right have now. New chicks out on the farm.
So some more chickens on the farm, and they'll be ready for delivery about tax time, April 15th, something along that line. We'll talk about the chicken ranch and other improvements. Great news on the woodlot. Again, generosity, making a lot of progress there. If you've driven by the woodlot, do you live in Albany or do you live in Albany?
I live in Albany.
Do you drive that way by the woodlot every day?
Not every day, but on occasion.
On occasion. You're like me, you take different routes in.
Yep.
Well, the woodlot to just east of Coastal Farm is just looking really good. Lots of firewood out there. And if you need some seasoned firewood, from bundles to cords and cords, give us a call and we'll have some phone numbers for you there as
well. When he says east of Coastal Farm, he's talking on Highway 20.
Highway 20, that is correct, right. Just about a third of a mile east.
Yeah, not far from the overpass at I-5 there. You just keep
just
going.
Just right off the highway, Yeah. Just maybe a mile and a third or so that way. So
right. So you mentioned something, Jim, just a moment ago about volunteering your time, and Pastor Megan Good is here from Albany Mennonite Church. She volunteers her time. But you don't have to be a pastor, do you, Megan, to volunteer your time with Albany Helping Hands?
Definitely not. We would love to have more people.
Absolutely. And in our lives, as we go through from day to day, the various responsibilities, all the busyness that life has today, it's easy to just get in a groove and be just getting done with what you have to get done and feel like life is kind of repetitive and maybe a little empty. And a great way to bring meaning into your life and to kind of fill that hole that's there that is sort of like, you know, is this all there is to give of your time and to love other people by donating your time and doing something really terrifically positive like helping out at Albany Helping Hands.
Absolutely. One of the convictions I have about volunteering generally is it not only changes your view of the world through the people you meet, but also your view of your own life and the ways that you're spending it and the people who are impacting you.
Ultimately, the only way to truly fill that empty place in your life is with a relationship with the one who made you. But, you know, that's the ultimate way to do it. But this is certainly a helpful thing in your life, regardless of where your status is in that regard, just to reach out to other people and love on them by helping them in a time of need.
Absolutely. And as a Christian, I think doing work like Helping Hands is really sharing Jesus' passion, and that's a great way to build your faith, too.
Absolutely. So tell the folks who are listening who aren't as familiar with Albany Helping Hands as some others in the audience are, and this could be for either John or Jim or Pastor Megan, what exactly Albany Helping Hands is and what you do.
Well, I'm going to pass it along, but a few things. I'm going to say it's a little difficult in one sense. It's no longer just a homeless shelter or no longer just emergency housing, no longer just a soup kitchen. There's employment. There's a thrift store. We'll talk about that, various capacities that the shelter does. But it is a nonprofit corporation. It really goes back Pastor Bailey in the early 1980s. Basically, he was a pastor of a church and seeing that there was a need in housing individuals that would need a place to stay when it was cold and freezing in those 10-degree nights, 15-degree nights that we get periodically.
Yeah.
So far, our record, since I've been volunteering the shelter, has been 4 degrees. That was several winters ago. That 4.8 degrees in Albany that night.
That's some powerful cold there.
Powerful cold. Of course, we talked about hot. Last summer, we had our cooling center, open a record number of days because it was so hot.
Yeah,
and that could be really a challenge to someone's health overall. So there's a lot of those things, and the organization was incorporated as a faith-based nonprofit in 1998. That makes it 18 years old. And one of the things, and it's critical how John addressed this, is we are independent. We're not specifically a Catholic organization or a Lutheran organization or a Mennonite organization. Every one of those individual churches gets involved as Christians to support us. We're basically a specialty where we can help them provide services that maybe they provided 30 or 40, 50 years ago. But it's more specialized, where you might put someone up in your church and they'd come to you. But it's more specialized. It's harder to do that. There are requirements. It's a lot easier to have an intake center like Albany Helping Hands that people can go to and say, you know, there's a resource. They can help you out. And they may be able to help you get your ID or maybe help you get a resume together, whatever you would need to find a job. Or maybe it's just networking, getting online to find a job.
So the various agencies around town, they can sort of act as a funnel to send folks your way.
Or we act as a funnel to send folks their way, in a sense. They come to us, an individual, and they come in and have a need. We say, well, here's an individual that they just need a GED, a smart, I'll say, a smart male, young male, maybe in his 20s, didn't get a high school degree. We have the option for them to have some housing, to have meals, be taken care of there, and also to get a GED, in this particular case, right on site, one of the things that we have the option to do.
That's wonderful, and that's a huge step in setting them their feet back on the road to being productive.
That's right. The woodlot, the thrift store, Christmas tree lots, those are examples of employment opportunities. In the retail segment, or if you're not so retail, maybe it's with your hands. In the woodworking segment, working with wood, the chicken ranch is another example of that. All of those things. And John has seen that change. John has been with the organization, I think I read, about 1998 or so. Is that or even me prior to that? Is that right, John?
Well, that's about right. That's pretty close, yes. So I wanted to just follow up a bit on what you were saying, Jim, because it's really great that we have the capacity more than ever to help our guests move on with their lives. And that's what Megan has done with us. Is she works at our guest management department and then helps folks move along with their personal programs to improve their lives. And she's really, of course, very good at this. And so we've been so fortunate and blessed to have her with us. So I was hoping, too, she could talk a little bit about what that really is like, because I come in there and I see her in there interviewing the guest and talking with them and getting them going. So that's been a big, big deal.
Sounds to me like, John, you're referring to sort of an individualized program for each person that comes in.
That's exactly right. So that, in our setup, people can stay 30 days before making a commitment. And after 30 days, we ask them if they're going to stay with us longer, that they make a commitment to a personal development program. And they can stay as long as they need working on the program, but they
as
do have
as long as they're working to move
as
forward.
Long as they're working to whatever that is. It's all individualized. And Megan was one of the folks who helped them plan that. So
tell
I'd
us
like
about
her
that,
to tell
Megan.
About that.
Yeah. Well, when I started volunteering with Helping Hands about 6 years ago, the system was pretty loose in terms of what we knew about the people who were staying with us and what their situation was. So one of the things we did early on was sat down and put together a kind of assessment form that looks holistically at people's financial history, family history, criminal background, their current health condition, addictions, kind of the holistic picture of what makes up a human life. And so what I do is sit down with each guest that comes in individually and kind of hear the whole of their story and how all of these pieces are playing into the moment they're in. And then kind of work backwards to look at what steps they might take or goals they might set that would help them move in the direction they're desiring to go.
So it sounds like you might actually ask them, what would you like to accomplish or what would you like to do with your life?
Absolutely. That's what we're building toward in every assessment. And once we have that answer lined up next to our knowledge of their current circumstances and possibilities and obstacles, then we're able to lay out specific next steps and begin to work at helping them take concrete action toward those goals.
Boy, Pastor Megan, that makes a whole lot of sense. It really does. Just a step-by-step approach once you understand where they're at, their current reality, and then where they'd like to go. Well, here's what you can do to get there, and we'll help you do it.
Absolutely. And if anyone is interested in volunteering in that way, I should say I don't have any particular social work training. This is mostly a job of listening to people carefully and just using the basic knowledge you have of job hunting and just basic life skills that can really make a difference for people. You don't have to be a specialist.
I want to mention along that line, people say, well, I don't have the skills you need. I bet they do. I don't think there's one person that wouldn't find it. We would find some skill by maybe at a hobby or something like this. There's something that they can do for us. An example of that is young people. I don't have any skills. You know, Facebook? Can you text? Yes. We have something for you to do.
Outstanding.
Outstanding. And again, that's the social media, the website. If you just think about the operation, there's a lot of things. If it's maybe an individual's a great cook, something like that, and then, well, we have a kitchen going on. There's something to do. So don't use that as a reason. Just like our guests, we can find out what your attributes are and where we can use an individual from a receptionist to answering phones. We do a lot of the stuff internally, and so there's always a need. Pastor Megan mentioned something that it's critical, not only the assessment, but we see this in attitude. Individuals come in, provide them opportunity. You know, you can get pretty downtrodden. Well, tonight I'm in a tent again, or I'm going to be sleeping in my car again. It's real cold and takes a while to get going. And to know that you can do something productive right away, be part of the Christmas tree sales, be out of the woodlot, thrift store. So from the get-go, if an individual wants to be motivated, and that's one way, and they're actually contributing to society, being part of the retail operations, bringing money in, doing some cases, very hard work, the woodlot work. In younger days, I split wood and stacked wood and did all of those things. And that's, as you know, it's not easy work. The guys doing that out there. So it's a really, you mentioned a holistic program and really all parts of that. And because we are a faith-based nonprofit, we really do look at all parts. It's all a part of the bigger plan and the bigger picture of things.
We're talking with Jim Wilhide, development and media consultant with Albany Helping Hands, John Donovan, the vice president and development director, and Pastor Megan Good, a volunteer at Albany Helping Hands and the pastor at Albany Mennonite Church. We'll return on Valley Talk right after a quick break. It's Valley Talk on KGAL. I'm Jeff McMahon. With me today from Albany Helping Hands, Jim Wilhide, John Donovan, and Pastor Megan Good, the pastor at Albany Mennonite Church. We appreciate all of them stopping in, and it was a really enjoyable first segment of Valley Talk today. Jim, as we move into the second segment here, I understand that you folks have a new website available.
Well, we do. If you had the old website address, it would redirect to that, so you may not be aware of it necessarily, but it's albanyhelpinghands.com, and that's Albany Helping Hands, all one word. You can capitalize it if you like. You don't have to. The Albany Helping Hands .com. We are still a nonprofit organization, but in the world of web addresses, .coms are kind of a critical. We do have retail operations with the thrift store, with the woodlot, the garden market out there, the chicken ranch. So we registered that as well, and that's the new website. And you'll find things, information about projects such as a project we're going to talk about here, the bunk bed project.
We're going to bring that up.
We have various links to that. And so you can find information about the Bridge of Hope dinner, for example, Plants for Kids coming up, things like that. It's all on the website.
Pictures and videos.
That's right. We need to do more about that. That's why I say if you know how to make a videos, come and talk to us. Pictures, if you're great with pictures, copywriting, there's just any number of things that individuals could do social media-wise. Likewise, we have a Facebook page, and we'll be working on that, kind of keeping that updated as well. We're not Twittering yet, but we'll see about that one. So,
yeah. Well, by the time you're doing that, there'll be something else. So it's hard to keep up.
Indeed, it is. No doubt about that.
That's amazing. All right. So individual donations and help from anybody and everybody in the community, all that is possible, is certainly helpful and needed. Nonprofit. So it is tax deductible when you donate to Albany Helping Hands. But you couldn't get by unless you had some wonderful businesses and bigger entities that help to sponsor what you're doing. Let's talk about them.
That's right. People may not be aware that some folks say, "Well, don't you get money from the government? Aren't you maintained by the government? There may be some individual funds allocated maybe to do some paperwork for maybe it's individuals in the criminal justice industry, but there is no big money. We don't get the big check every month from the federal government, or here's your $30,000, $50,000, $100,000 check. It just doesn't come. Now and then grants. And I know that has been something. There are also strings, of course, that come with some of that money as well. Yeah. But even in the whole element of homelessness, there just isn't anything really specifically. There's, again, various grants, but there isn't that money fund that just comes through every month. And so we rely on individual donations, donations for businesses. And Albany has been so generous. Some of the big donors I want to give recognition to, that includes iCare Associates. The Lee's family, they have not only made cash donations, but we have an arrangement with them dealing with eye care for guests, individuals that are staying at the shelter. If they break glasses, or maybe that's one of the issues, they can't pass a driving test because they can't see properly, and glasses, all of that stuff runs up the cost and so forth. So that's one of the examples. Buzz at Coastal Farm and Ranch, a great local business. He's a big supporter of a lot of local causes, Buzz Wheeler. And, you know, big, big thanks to Buzz there. Thanks to Emerson Smoker, by the way, Right Way Electric, who's on our board, who also kind of brought Buzz to us. There's an individual that makes donations, works very hard for us, helping us run retail operations. And with Emerson Smoker's great background, owner of Right Way Electric.
He's one of the finest men I've ever known. I have to say, Emerson Smoker is an amazing guy.
He surely is. And you know, big thank you out there and a big a shout-out for Right Way Electric if you need some electrical work done. Although Emerson is so busy all the time, he's just running. Hearts Nursery, another example of a big donors for Albany Helping Hands. Gary Hart, in fact, you'll see some of their donations coming up here this spring at the dinner auction. Great plans to bid on. Samaritan Health Services, a supporter there. As I move along, Sanium Christian School. Edward Jones, Ralph and Chris Soriano. Maybe, John, you want to say something about Edward Jones there? I know that they've been not only donors for us, but kind of helped us do some brokering of stocks for donations for some of their clients.
Yes, they are very important people in my world. And they are also, they handle all my investments and my wife's, and we've been very pleased with having that relationship. But they have gone much further in helping us with Albany Helping Hands, and they have been able to help us even tell the story to wonderful people in the community who are willing to help invest in us. So this has become a very important relationship, and they're also, of course, they have a lot of knowledge that is super helpful for us in our development. And it's sort of remarkable that just recently we've been able to reduce our debt down to the lowest point we've been ever in our history. And we hope with another year, maybe, you know, our president, Jim Sapp, always talks about every meeting about becoming debt-free. And when he first said that, I thought, oh, boy, that's pretty big reach.
Like that's going to happen.
Exactly. But we're getting closer. And
actually see the light at the end of the debt tunnel.
We could see the light, and that was so important because it's helped us, of course, pay off some debt to people who were very kind and carried us for a while until we could get all that money because we had to remodel those buildings and get that all done. And they were just very patient, and now they're paid off, and we're in another
John,
round
talk
of
about
planning.
How good that feels, because knowing your heart, I'm sure that was a heavy weight on you and others at Albany Helping Hands, owing people money, even though they are being kind and giving you time to pay it back. You still, I know you wanted really badly, and so now you're starting to get some people paid. How's that feel?
Oh, boy, it lets you sleep a lot easier at night, and I know that it was, you know, again, it's sort of a whole relationship building operation that we have 4,800 people who donate to us on a regular basis. And actually, it was sort of like having the ability to it's so great when we are replacing all the beds in our facility.
Yeah.
And we're getting all metal beds, which are much better for several reasons. And it's so, you know, that happened very quickly, and Pastor Megan played a major role in that with her church, and then it was just it's done, and it's because the people understood our need in the community. The word was able. We get out. We have our newsletter goes out every 2 months, and then if we have pastors who take a lead role in helping us get there. It's so wonderful to have that kind of support. So, yeah. Could you talk a little bit about that, Pastor, how that worked? Because I know it was several pieces there.
Well, this past fall, my church decided to set aside a couple months just to help people be more informed about the kind of work that's being done in the community that they should know about. We mentioned earlier how easy it is for all of us to get caught up in our own lives and to miss what's going on in the bigger picture.
Yeah.
So as a part of that conversation, I had mentioned the need for these bunk beds that I'd been aware of for several years and been intimidated by the size of the number involved to replace.
And what was that number, by the way?
I've been told it was somewhere around 14,000, which I think is where we ended up. And that sounded like more money than I had a clue as a pastor how to raise.
Yeah.
So I just mentioned this to a group of people in my church. And that evening, one of the young families went home and talked about it over the dinner table and said, we think we can make this happen. So they decided to set a goal. This was in early December, that by Easter, at the end of March, they would have raised this $14,000. And they wanted to have their first fundraiser before Christmas, a spaghetti dinner. And we were rather astonished after having that dinner that I think somewhere around $5,600 were raised in that single meal.
My.
And we were so, the church was so energized by seeing the response to that, that to our complete astonishment, we had the whole $14,000 raised in just over a month.
Wow.
That was in part my church, but also First Methodist Church and a number of other private individuals who heard about what we were doing. But it exceeded our wildest expectations about what would be possible.
You know, that really snowballed Democrat Herald with a write-up about the young family that got involved. The young kids were asking about, why would they have to sleep with beds like that? It had to do with replacement of the bed frames, and we call it the Bunk Bed Project. And the project was to take the old bed frames. You can go to the website and see pictures of those. And they were made of wood, which is fine. But there's I hear a commercial about a bed bug pandemic, nationwide. But we have our issues with that as well, as of hotels and even nice hotels and so forth, individuals. But
wood bed frames, that's a happy environment for those.
It makes it a nice, happy home for those critters. And there's other structural reasons, too, that metal frames are better. And so it was a replacement of those. And I understand the first wave of beds have been ordered, or the frames have been ordered, and we're in that process right now. It's just amazing how this community came together. And Pastor Megan, again, to thank you for doing that. It's just a neat thing. And even I thought your expectations were maybe higher than that. You did such a great job at raising that money. So thank you very much. If you go to our website, we have some information on that. Again, we're always still looking for that. There's always a constant need for maintenance of mattresses and bed covers and things like that. We have taken some of that on previously, but as you know, there's a need. And as we expand the shelter operations, that'll be something we'll be addressing here in the future, too. So
very good. So there may have been another sponsor or two that you wanted to get to.
There was, actually. It's interesting you should mention that. I want to thanks again to Jenks Hatchery. We mentioned Hearts Nursery, Bi-Coastal Radio. And then I want to mention Eads Broadcasting, of course, KGAL, your sister station, K-Show, and you have a stream, Willamette Valley Sports, is that what it's called?
WillametteValleySports.com.
Yeah. So basically three broadcast streams. And thanks to those organizations as well. They've been great supporters, and you guys have helping us advertise events and get things. You'll be hearing some more commercials for the Woodlot, which is doing real, real well for us. So thanks to those. I could go down the list. There's hundreds on that list, and then individual donors. And is all I can say, really, is thanks to everybody out there if we didn't mention you.
And the involvement of churches in the area, too, besides the Albany Mennonite Church.
Individual businesses, businessmen around Christmas time. A guy took a project on to get a Christmas packages with clothing and stuff to all the guests. It's just like individual churches, nonprofit organizations, groups will take a project on and so forth. And you're out there. So thank you very much again.
That's wonderful. So we have to break, and we'll return with guests from Albany Helping Hands, Jim Wilhite, John Donovan, and Pastor Megan Good, right after the Osgood File and a word or two. Don't go away. Welcome back to KGAL's Valley Talk. Albany Helping Hands is our topic today. And with us, Pastor Megan Good, who is a volunteer with Albany Helping Hands and the pastor at Albany Mennonite Church. John Donovan, who's the vice president and development director, has been with Albany Helping Hands almost since the very beginning. And Jim Wilhite is the development and media consultant, former media member, as a matter of fact. And he's with us, too, today on Valley Talk. Albany Helping Hands, our topic. You have recently selected a Volunteer of the Year, I understand.
You know, it's a tough thing. We do this via committee and various nominations, and the tough thing is we have so many good volunteers to do that. And then the other part of that is you come up with your good volunteer, and you narrow it down, and you come up and you mention that to them, and they go, oh, no, not me, because they're so humble. One of the positive attributes that individual says, oh, there's so many more deserving. Well, one way or the other, we have decided who is going to get the particular award, and we're pleased to make that announcement again this year. And I'm going to let John go ahead and do that, John.
I sure am pleased to be able to talk about that, because I was just talking with Pastor Megan a little bit earlier about the fact that last year our chose Pat Loy as our Volunteer of the Year. She's a retired teacher in the community and a beloved person, as I found out. And then she's been running our GED program and our computer, and we have this excellent computerized lab for the, in fact, you have to have that to even do GED training these days. And she works so well with everybody, and she's so kind and just steady, and has done an amazing job for us as a volunteer. So it helps a lot of our folks to, if we were talking earlier, if they can get their GED, we have a van that goes out to the community college every day with certain folks who are studying out there then, because they were able to get that done and move on with their education and training. So that's the part where Pastor Megan has helped us very specifically for 6 years. I knew it was several years, but it's been a huge help to help folks move along and get their lives really, really going. So we've decided that after it was so well received when we gave that plaque to Pat last year, that we should continue. And we have these great volunteers, and they do excellent work for us. And of course, what always has to happen is I have to convince the person that, you know, it's important for them to accept that plaque and let us talk about their work, because it gives people ideas about how they can serve and what a wonderful contribution they can make.
Encourages others to participate themselves.
It truly does. So you know, thank heavens. This year we are going to give that award to Pastor Megan, and it's, you know, it was just totally unanimous decision when I talked to the board about this, and it sort of has come on. We've had some other folks come on with us this past year, a couple folks who are making a huge contribution to us because they have life skills and knowledge about how to do development. They know how to do fundraising. They did it professionally. They're good in the accounting part. And they have a lot of heart. So they have such good community background that it's just exactly what we hope to keep developing, is because we can talk about those folks and then they can tell their story. And it makes it seem real that you can make a difference. You can actually help folks. And so that's why we're so pleased that actually this year Pastor Megan has agreed to be our Volunteer of the Year, and we're going to say a bunch of nice things about her at our dinner auction, which comes up April 28th, which is a huge deal for us every year. So this is a big deal.
Thinking that Pastor Megan Good, who's with us here today, of course, the Albany Helping Hands Volunteer of the Year, she needs to get used to having people applaud for her, so maybe we should just give her a hand right now.
There we go. After one of your sermons, you get applause.
I feel like I should note on the air, they didn't tell me about this award until I showed up at the radio station this morning, so they made it really hard to argue.
Yeah, it's kind of tough putting that. We did that maybe intentionally here, so she's blushing too, so very, very humble. We really want to thank her for the great work that she has done there. You know, one of the words that came out, as you mentioned, heart, and John had, one of the reasons that I joined this organization as well, seeing that in the community, John and Pastor Bailey, when they'd be on the air, just, it was just such an impact to me. It's like, wow, there's some individuals that really care about what they're doing, and individuals that really don't need to necessarily care unless they just want to be, you know, better for mankind, you know, and it's just so neat to see that. And it's the kind of the spirit of Pastor Bailey, that he's still with us, but that is caring and being driven by that. If you have skills, and maybe I don't know if I have the heart for that, you know what, come on down with your skills, and you will find out that you will have the heart for that. And maybe you have the heart and you don't think you have skills, I bet you we can find those skills too. So very again good. Thank you very much, Volunteer of the Year, and just some impact. And you know, you're a writer too. In addition to being pastor, I want to address that a little bit. Let's a little plug for your writing. What type of stuff do you write?
Well, I have a blog that's called mudpiegod.com that's a blog on scripture. I'm trying to help get people reading who find the Bible difficult to access.
So all one word, mudpiegod.
Mudpiegod.com. I also do some just article writing for various publications, and I'm working on a doctoral dissertation that hopefully will eventually be published when it's finished.
Boy, busy person. Yeah, in addition to...
And she volunteers for Albany Helping Hands and is the Volunteer of the Year.
Indeed so. Well, thank you very much. And check, that's mudpiegod.com. That sounds interesting. Check that out.
I am going to check it out. So let's talk about the 6th Annual Bridge of Hope Dinner Auction. You don't make anything, an annual anything, unless it's been successful. So this must have been a big event for you, and the 6th annual coming up.
Indeed it is, and 28th of April. So we're, 6 weeks away, something like that, April 28th. Thursday night, 5 till 9 o'clock. Dinner auction, as an individual's, you'll be invited. We're not selling tickets individually, but we do sell tables. The big push is for sponsorship, business sponsorship, donations of auction items for our silent auction, live auction. And John is really headed getting all of that stuff. If an individual needs more information, they can contact John. Or go to the website. There is some information online. Contact John or myself, jim@albanyhh.org. John, your cell phone number, let's give that out real quick if individuals want to write that down to talk to John about sponsorship, and there are individuals out there will be contacting you. So if you were on last year, expect our phone call and just save yourself the hassle and just send us the check now. And you can just, we'll just do that. We'll just write you up. So John, your phone number.
Yes, it's 541-974-6709, and it has been an amazing trip for us over these years of putting on the dinner auction, because you know, when we started this, of course, we were just having to learn everything about who we could get to come, who would actually provide items, who would do all these pieces, because anyone who's ever worked on a dinner auction knows that it's a fair amount of work. And it's been amazing that we've had some great people take part with us on everything, and it's become a very important event for us to do. So we're very thankful, and we're just so happy that we do get the kind of support and the kind of help that comes from, you know, putting on the effort and the number of sponsors we have. And we're, I've got to get out now this week and start talking to my sponsors who, fortunately, sure, we have a list of all those sponsors from last year and the other board members. We have 9 other board members, and we just had a regular, we have 2 meetings a month to talk over our business and our goals and what's happening. So they've all gotten their information to get out there and talk to potential sponsors, of course, that they know well, and they've done a really good job of being table captains and getting folks to the auction who are wonderful community members and people who step up and make wonderful gifts. So that's been just amazing that we've been able to get this to this point. And, of course, we'll be sending out a save the date card here in about another week and a half to all the folks who came last year. And a number of those folks have come to almost all the auctions. So, and they are very strong supporters, and it's just it's exciting when you know, things happen that I can't ever predict or know until it happens. Last year, we gave the we have a Guest of the Year award that we give out now, and we gave that to the manager of our woodlot, and he had just risen up and become an excellent woodlot manager, and he knew a lot about wood and logs and working with folks. So we gave him that award. So people are coming up to pay their what they had promised to give us after the event, and this guy walks up. And he just gave us a check for $1,000 to buy a new saw because he was so impressed with, wow, Kevin's story. And wow. Kevin got up and just told a few things about what he was doing. And it was so neat that, you know, it touched this individual who understood a lot about wood. And we have a lot of folks who now are giving us these down trees, and then we have a great supporter who just gives us logs from a major operation. So. Major lumber company. So
that's wonderful.
It really is. So that's where the word gets out, and we have all these great people to work with. And it's really now become a wonderful celebration.
So you just mentioned the woodlot, there's the garden market, chicken ranch. These are not only ways that Albany Helping Hands can help to raise funds to be able to feed people, to be able to give them some place to stay and help them get back on their feet and get on the road to being a productive citizen again. But it also gives those people an opportunity to be productive while they're a part of the program at Albany Helping Hands. We've got about 2.5 minutes or so left, Jim. Talk about these in whatever way you'd like as we kind of close things up today.
Well, you really hit on it, and I just I'm going to mention the word chickens. If you eat chicken, consider Albany Helping Hands. They are excellent. They're tasty. They're very good. We have some existing chickens ready. We have another crop of chickens coming in. Hanging baskets. If you're thinking hanging baskets, flowering baskets, we'll have those not only at the garden market location but our thrift store location. And at the library, right across the library parking lot, the Albany Main Public Library. We have to make arrangements there, so John will be doing that again this year, but we're out at that location. Firewood bundles. You need cords and cords, we can do that. You need it stacked and hauled, we can do that. You need logs picked up that are in your backyard, a tree fell, give us a call. We can take a look and see if it's feasible. So things like that. And again, just think about produce with the garden market. Produce time coming in, not only flowers. We'll be doing a lot of flowers this year, but plant starts. And that, again, 1/3 mile east on Highway 20 of east of Coastal Farm and Ranch.
And the Albany Helping Hands main location where folks are staying and eating. I know that you've invited anyone in the community that wants to come by and have a meal there just to experience the delicious food and the environment. They can come by. Tell us where it's at.
619 Southeast 9th, just down by the jail there, right off of Jackson Street. You really can't miss it. Go to the website. There's Google Maps and so forth right on there, albanyhelpinghands.com, albanyhelpinghands.com. So.
Very good. So, Pastor Megan, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure. And John Donovan, as always, appreciate you, sir, and what you do and have done for so long. Thanks for
Well, you folks have been just so important from the beginning, and we hope to continue this relationship for some time.
Oh,
thanks, Jeff.
I think there's no doubt that's going to happen. And Jim Wilhite, my friend in broadcasting, and you found this second career in your life now, and
I guess I'm not sure I found it, but God directed me to it. Kicks you along in the right direction if you don't pay attention there. So, well, thank you very much. We really appreciate this. And you know, another hour gone. We're another hour older. Is that possible?
Well,
I know we walk out of the
keeps happening, Jim.
We walk you out of the show. We go, man, that time went fast, didn't it? Go fast. We always say that it really does.
It flies by.
It really flies by. So,
and the new easy to get to website, it is albanyhelpinghands.com. That's albanyhelpinghands.com. And what is a phone number for folks who'd rather have a phone number to call? Where they can get more information.
I have 1-926-4036.
Yes, that's the main office number, and they'll direct you to the right person. Thank you.
There you go. 926-4036.
You have it.
Right there. And albanyhelpinghands.com. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.